All right, welcome back to another episode of American Liberty. I am Kevin Wormhold, once again joined by my co-host here, Jake Gutterwitz. It's been a while. We've been a little behind. I've been doing a little traveling. Jake has started a new venture on his own. I've been working on another project on the side. But we are back. American Liberty. Jake Gutterwitz, how are you, buddy?
I am great, and I'm very happy to finally be back.
Yes, and there's been a lot that's been going on this last week and a half since we last did an episode. I'm going to start with, well, I do remember saying how Joe Biden was dead in the water.
And yeah, we were talking about how he'd be dead after South Carolina.
Yeah, well, he definitely is not dead.
Sure. Still,
I mean,
he looks dead, but
he's like walking dead, but
sure.
He's showing up, even though he doesn't know what day of the week it is. But he's surprisingly on Super Tuesday, pretty much knocked everybody out of the race. And it seems that everybody has made a decision now to back Joe Biden, especially Kamala Harris, who not for nothing did call him a racist several times, and all of a sudden she's pro Biden now. So what do you think of that?
Yeah, I think this means the DNC is really legitimately scared that Bernie Sanders could get the nomination. Because I can't see any other excuse for all of these candidates endorsing Joe Biden. Has Elizabeth Warren finally endorsed Biden?
She has not endorsed anybody yet.
That's what I thought of.
Yeah.
But she's the only one. Everyone else has dropped out and endorsed Joe Biden. And why they've went with Joe Biden, of all people, I'll never understand. I mean, the man clearly is starting to develop dementia. You know, all jokes aside, it's a little scary watching Joe Biden sometimes.
That has been the rumor, how his memory hasn't been there. He's stumbling in words, having a hard time remembering.
Which is fine, but maybe not for the commander-in-chief.
Right. I mean, there's a point where you had an entire, of everybody that started, you had a very diverse group down to nothing but old, crusty old white men.
Well, and our favorite, Tulsi Gabbard, of course.
Yes, and that's the other thing I wanted to get to. Clearly, you can see how powerful the DNC is. When Tulsi Gabbard went against the DNC, went against the establishment, and they just took her name out of it, the media, everybody. They said, do not mention Tulsi's name. They talked about how Elizabeth Warren was the only woman left in the race. Not true. Tulsi still has not stopped campaigning. They said how now we have two old white men. We still have Tulsi Gabbard. Yes. She's still campaigning, so... what is the reasoning behind the DNC making that move?
It's really simple. If people knew about Tulsi Gabbard, they'd vote for her.
I mean, of all the candidates that were up there and all the options you had, Kamala Harris, even Cory Booker, younger. I mean, there's so many younger people that were in that race. We have the oldest people left. It just doesn't make any sense. And I still don't think that Biden has a shot at the general election, especially. Who knows? I mean, the superdelegates come into play once the DNC goes to the convention.
Sure.
That's like a hidden secret, which is basically the DNC is going to say, you're going to vote for who I tell you to, and that's it. There's no other option. So they clearly have picked their winner, Joe Biden. What is Trump's next move as far as when it comes to the general?
Well, all Trump has to do is sit back in the Oval Office and put his feet up at this point if they really do nominate Joe Biden. I mean, it's not even going to be a contest. In fact, all it's going to do is probably secure Trump's mandate to rule.
Right. And do you think that the DNC in itself, after, because what's going to happen is Bernie Sanders again is going to say the DNC shafted him. Sure. And what's going to happen to the DNC after this point?
You know, it's interesting because if this was 2012, we would probably be saying the same thing about the GOP. And, you know, in 2008, the GOP more or less fell apart. You know, after Obama's election, we had things like the Tea Party. We had a completely divided GOP. And finally, after 2012, they more or less managed to muddle together. And I hate to use the word fix the party because I think it's extremely broken, but have unity within the party. And I wonder if that's the same path that the Democrats are now going to go down. Because really, what other choice do they have? Either after this 2020 election, they will come together to find some sort of unity, or they'll have to split into two parties.
like you suggested, possibly like a fringe party, like how the Tea Party conservatives broke off from the regular exactly. Republican Party. It'll be the AOC, the Four Horsemen slash Bernie's group that, you know, comes out and creates their own fringe group within that Democratic movement.
Exactly.
So is that going to have any impact come 2024 when these general elections come around, or do you think that's more of a midterm issue?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if it throws off the midterms and Republicans manage to gain a majority in the House again. Of course, I wouldn't be surprised if Republicans manage to gain that majority this year.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen this year. I think they're going to completely.
Yeah.
If the option's Bernie Sanders, without question, it's going to be a
yes.
crushing defeat. With Joe Biden, the hope is that he will be able to go one-on-one with Trump on the debate stage.
Sure.
I think it's not going to happen. I don't think anybody really would have
stood
a chance against him.
The problem is, and I think Hillary Clinton had this problem back in 2016, Trump, as he's proven time and time again, is not a politician. And so people like Hillary Clinton, like Joe Biden, they're used to debating politicians and, all things considered, can probably hold their own. They can't against Donald Trump. Donald Trump is a different animal. And unless the DNC has managed to learn from 2016, and I doubt they have, Biden's just going to look like an idiot next to him.
Is there any chance that the third party, the Libertarian Party, puts forth a reliable candidate to even make an impact, given how bad the Democratic option is now and how bad
I'd like to believe
the
it.
Republican option that there's
sure.
some third option?
Well, I'd like to believe that, but I said the same thing back in 2016, and then they gave me Gary Johnson.
All right. I could see. Now, of all the Libertarian candidates out there, Mark Whitney, I just interviewed the other day.
Yes.
On my other podcast, and he's quite a character. I'll say that. I would tune in. If you are a little bit fragile when it comes to F-bombs, he drops a few of those, so be careful. But very interesting conversation. He's very animated. He actually makes a lot of good points. I just, his delivery is a little bit different. Now, with that said, Ken Armstrong is on the primary ballot for primary access here in New York. Because what happened was they gave it to, they have one candidate that he's on the ballot already secured. Ken Armstrong, there's been an issue with the Board of Elections, of course. There is a lawsuit going on.
Yes.
A filing going on Ken Armstrong's part, and they are fighting for that to have the first primary here in New York for the Libertarian Party. It's moving. It's something.
Sure.
I believe it's Hornberger is on the ballot already in New York.
Yes.
But there already is something in motion for a third party is growing. I just don't know if it has the backbone to last, and I don't know if at the convention they're going to pick the right candidate, the delegates going to support the right candidate. This system is different than the other two. It's very weird.
But you know what? I really hate to say it, but I don't know that there's any Libertarian presidential candidate out there today that's really just there, that's really great, that's someone that I would be proud to go out and vote for.
I know somebody who I would love to run, but he ain't running yet.
Sure, who's that?
That would be Larry Sharp.
Larry Sharp, yes.
I would get behind his campaign 150%.
I agree, I'm the same way. I would love to get behind, I've said this time and time again, Austin Peterson again, but he hasn't thrown his hat in the ring this year.
No, and you know what? I haven't heard that I know he moved over, and I think he's in Missouri now.
Yes.
I haven't heard him mention anything Libertarian in a while. I don't know what's going on. Let's talk a little bit about this economy. Coronavirus is destroying the economy. I mean, the market. People are losing, like, entire yearly salaries in a day.
Or, I mean, if this was 1929, you'd see people jumping off of buildings.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a pretty rough week with the market. It's fluctuated down 1,100 points, down another 1,000, then up 1,000. I mean, obviously this coronavirus thing is moving through and causing panic. Now, a lot of this has to do with the fact that most of our goods come from overseas. And this is what happens when there's a disruption in the supply chain coming back to the U.S.
Right.
You know, as a free market, as a open trade person, this is a little bit of a little troubling to see how this happens. Obviously, 80% of our prescription drugs come from China. Well, the coronavirus is in China. So
I've heard talk of President Trump signing an executive order to start bringing back pharmaceutical manufacturing. I don't know where that went. I haven't heard him say it again.
Well, I know that he's mentioned it during his first campaign. He sat down with the pharmaceuticals, says we're going to be building drugs in America again and stop depending overseas. But of course, there's a lot of corporate money involved, sure. A lot of lobbying involved. It's a very difficult thing to get done. But this isn't exactly why we cannot always depend on trading overseas and importing everything. Prime example, God forbid, the masks that you see everybody on TV wearing, most of those are made in China. I'm not sending them here anymore. I wouldn't send any of that pharmaceutical stuff over here, but like, screw you, we need it. You know, think about it. China's a communist country. Their government controls everything. Sure. At any moment, they could just say, we're not allowing any goods to get shipped out, and you guys are screwed. 20% of our pharmaceuticals made here in a population over 350 million. That's a little bit concerning to me. And what do you think, bud?
Sure. I think that we've spent too long allowing critical industries to leave the United States and go overseas. Much as I believe in free trade and would not necessarily see laws passed to prevent it, I think we need to start creating an environment for critical industries like the pharmaceutical industry to start producing here.
Yeah, I mean, the libertarian thing is government shouldn't meddle in, obviously.
Sure, anything.
But, where do we draw the line? That's something that I would have to ask other libertarians out there.
Sure.
Please, if you're watching this on YouTube, make a comment. I'm curious. I'm curious of what you say, what you think. Most of our pharmaceuticals are made overseas. Okay. Now we have a pandemic. Countries are shutting down schools. Japan, Italy, people can't travel in the northern part of Italy right now. Think about this. If that was already happening here and we're dependent on 80% of our drugs coming from overseas, please comment and let me know what your thought is if you're a libertarian or a free, constitutionalist.
Sure. Comment, tweet at us. Yeah, believe us, we'll talk about it.
I'm curious because, I'd like to get feedback on that because me personally, it's a little concerned. It's like, okay, like I believe in open border trade and free trade between two countries without government getting a hand in the pot, telling you where to go. But, here's an example where it could bite us. I'm curious what you think. Now, the Trump administration handling the coronavirus, there's been a lot of misinformation coming out. I'm reading here on CNN's already, as of an hour ago, Trump is serving up irresponsible and dangerous information on coronavirus. And they're fact-checking everything, and he's talking about his mismanagement, and that's going to fuel the virus even more. Is that more of just because this is 2020 and we have an election season, or do you think this is more of he's not a good manager?
Well, I think most of the coronavirus paranoia in the media is fear campaign. I think it's a dangerous disease. I think people are getting sick. I don't think people are getting sick at such a massive rate that it necessarily warrants all of this media attention. Should people wash their hands more often and maybe not shake hands with other people so often? Maybe be more conscious of hygiene? Absolutely. Should we be mobbing stores to purchase food because there might not be any left? No.
We're at a point where, I believe the Pope said when you go to church, there's no more handshaking. And they cut a lot of things out to...
At Mass, they say, use the peace sign.
Peace sign, yeah. So it has made an impact. But they call Trump irresponsible and a poor manager. Let's be honest. He's not running the whole country. There's people already in positions to handle things like this. He's not a doctor. I'm not watching the news going, what's Trump going to tell me to do today so I can make sure I don't get sick? He's not a doctor. He knows shit about...
I think the other side of that is I don't necessarily have faith in President Trump to hire the right people to manage the crisis.
So do you think that the people in place right now are not qualified, or...
Have yet to prove otherwise, right? We still don't have... I hate to call it a pandemic in the United States because that's a word that makes everyone freak out and mob grocery stores. I don't think they've proven that they're mismanaging it yet. I hesitate to believe some of the information that is coming out of the media immediately until we have some more sources corroborating it. And so until then, I have to put my faith, obviously, in them.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? I got to still work every day, earn a
Exactly. I still have to go to work. A lot of companies in Manhattan are asking employees to self-quarantine. I know people that are working in Manhattan that have been ordered to work from home. Right. I know the company I work for is considering that. I know Columbia University, as of tonight, has canceled its classes and asking students to self-quarantine. And so is this all just preventative? I think so. And I think these preventative measures, again, are making people paranoid. Again, you know, every couple of years, there's a new disease that we're told is going to kill us. I'm not super worried about the coronavirus.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, the only concern really is it's like the flu. Yes. It affects people 70 or older.
Exactly.
And for the most part, the thing is it spreads faster because it's in your body for 2 weeks before you start to feel anything.
Yes.
So I'm out mingling with the whole world, and for 2 weeks I can get a lot of people sick. That's the real fear. I think you're right. I don't think it's something that we really have to lose sleep over unless you have some other conditions that could cause you to obviously, because most people aren't dying of coronavirus, they're dying of pneumonia with the coronavirus, you know. There's all other things combined. So we shouldn't have to worry too much about it. So, I mean, I'm interested now to see how this goes on the DNC side with a one-on-one race. Really, it's one versus two. You have Tulsi Gabbard versus the establishment.
But they'll never let Tulsi Gabbard on the
They'll never
stage.
Let her in there and talk, yeah. Unfortunately. Tulsi, I'd like to see more of you. It's a shame what they're doing to you. If you know, I'd love to have her come on. And
sure, if you're listening to this, please join us.
I'm pretty curious, to how that's going. But I support her campaign for that. The fact that the establishment is against her, because she brought up some good points about the military industrial complex and the establishment and the corruption. For that, I support her. You know, I don't agree with every idea she has, but I support her in her fight against the DNC. Sure. So, make sure you tune in to our next episode next Monday, and we will have more episodes coming a little bit quicker. We had to take a little bit of a break. We've been pretty busy, but I have some other projects going on as well. But if you are listening, make sure you subscribe, rate. If you're watching this on YouTube, give a comment, especially that question I asked before. Make a comment. I'm curious what you think the libertarian position should be with free trade when here's an example of, you know, now we have a pandemic worldwide where the supply chain is interrupted, and now we are dependent on stuff like pharmaceuticals and we can't even get it. I want to thank Jake for coming on again for this episode of American Liberty, and stay tuned and stay free, everybody.